To be here today and to speak on this panel with such an interesting range of speakers, I have very much enjoyed what we've heard so far. Before I continue, I want to acknowledge that I am calling in from the unceded and traditional homelands of the Coast Salish peoples here on the west coast of Canada. The nations on whose land I sit right now include the Tsleil-Waututh, the Squamish, and the Musqueam peoples. And as a descendant of migrants and settlers, I'm very grateful to the Coast Salish peoples who have cared for these lands and these waters for generations. And that gratitude comes with a responsibility to bear witness to the ongoing impacts of colonialism and to commit to countering those impacts through decolonization practices. This recognition is not only a means to start off my remarks in a good way, but also to set the stage for some of the equity issues I want to talk about in relation to vaccines and vaccine requirements in particular. Across Canada and across many parts of the world, governments are introducing policies to require and incentivize vaccine uptake. In our jurisdiction here in British Columbia, the Public Health Office has rolled out a series of vaccine-related requirements, including requirements for long-term care workers to be vaccinated and requirements for restaurants and other similar services to only serve customers who are double-vaxxed. While the approaches vary, I'm going to call all of these kinds of policies for the purposes of my comments today, I'll refer to them all as vaccine policies. So I want to spend my brief time with you today to talk about the various human rights implications of those policies and how we balance them in the guidance you've just heard about. This is guidance that we've provided to the government of British Columbia, as well as to other duty bearers in our jurisdiction. There are clearly many different perspectives on vaccine policies, as demonstrated last month in the lead up to the 76th session of the General Assembly in New York. However, in general, I believe that the proposed mandates are justified from a human rights perspective in order to provide the greatest protection for those among us who are most vulnerable to the virus. Those at higher risk of getting sick and potentially dying, including our older adults, and those with serious medical conditions such as heart disease. The central issue here is finding the balance between the respect for individual freedoms and the imperative to promote the rights of the collective. Those individual freedoms have been expressed by multiple concerned Canadians who have called our office and many others, and include an appeal to the right to bodily autonomy, which is of course protected in many international human rights instances, as well as the Canadian Constitution. However, what is missing in this appeal is that by protecting the collective, making our communities safer through vaccines and related policies, that is the primary way to protect the bodily integrity of those most at risk from the disease. So in my view, there are six principles that must be applied to any proof of vaccination policy. And in seeking this balance between the individual and collective needs. So first, equitable access. Requiring vaccination for access to services, to housing, to employment, necessitates first providing equitable access to the vaccine. This means not only providing free, easily accessible, multilingual vaccine clinics, but also ensuring widespread, culturally appropriate education to help get the facts out to those who may be hesitant about the vaccine. For example, in Canada, we have to take into account our history of colonization, in which the government conducted medical experimentation on Indigenous children in residential schools, which is understandably led to greater vaccine hesitancy among Indigenous people. A rights-based approach to implementing a vaccine requirement necessitates that we exhaust every opportunity to identify and eliminate systemic barriers to vaccination that result in lower vaccinations among marginalized groups. In considering issues, access issues in a pandemic, we must also, of course, think of the collective beyond national boundaries and the efforts to achieve global access. I agree that no one is safe until everyone is safe, as was stated in the presidential statement from the UN Economic and Social Council high-level meeting in April this year. The second principle is to apply vaccine policies to ensure that such policies are evidence-based. They must be aligned with up-to-date public health recommendations and reflect current medical and epidemiological understandings of the specific risks the policies aim to address. The policies must also be time-limited, proportional, and necessary. Vaccination policies must be proportional to the health and safety risks that they seek to address and should be necessary to achieve an outcome that no other, less intrusive measures could achieve. Finally, vaccination status is highly sensitive personal information, and any collection, use, or disclosure must respect individual privacy rights to the greatest extent possible. As vaccine policies have started to roll out across British Columbia, I've had the opportunity to advise our public health officer on how to apply these principles. I raised the issue that failing to provide exemptions for those who are unable to get the vaccine, for example, because of an allergic reaction, could violate human rights laws. This analysis applies whether the policy applies to a discretionary benefit, like access to a restaurant or a theater, or a fundamental benefit like employment. Duty bearers cannot discriminate on the basis of protected personal characteristics, regardless of the benefit at stake. However, I want to emphasize that an exemption or accommodation process need only apply in limited circumstances where a protected personal characteristic, such as disability, is involved. In my view, a person who chooses not to get vaccinated as a matter of personal preference does not have grounds for a human rights complaint against a vaccine mandate. In addition to addressing barriers for those in need of a vaccine, care must be taken to ensure all vaccinated individuals can access proof of their vaccination status, particularly those without internet service or photo identification. The very design of the process for verifying vaccine status can further entrench inequities, and these challenges, in my view, must be addressed from the beginning of policy rollout. So I've spoken about some of the equity impacts of requiring vaccines. I want to be clear that in my view, vaccine requirements protect those marginalized among us. Therefore, freedom of choice not to vaccinate does not outweigh the significant human rights protections offered by the vaccine. Upholding individual rights while acting collectively to protect one another has been a challenge throughout the pandemic. We must maintain a careful balance between the rights of people who have not received the COVID-19 vaccine due to disability or location in the globe, around the globe, and the individual and collective rights to health and safety. But also must be aware, that this tension between individual and collective rights is not an absolute dichotomy. When we speak about the health of our communities, we are often speaking about the health of those who are most marginalized or medically vulnerable among us. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here today.